that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So we're shopping every Sunday at the mall.
And good morning, listeners, and welcome to the Friday, October the 17th, 2008 broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you Monday through Friday right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are on the web, republicbroadcasting.org, freedomadvocates.org, vocallocal.org, and ozarksvoter.info. We're all over the web. Get out there and check out some of those sites. Bookmark them today. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions again for you today. And if you can't remember the last time that you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local, because if we're going to get back to the pursuit of happiness, we're going to have to make certain amends in the way that we've been living and conducting our business affairs in this country. Now, you know, we have about 18 days now before the general election. And is there a candidate out in your area that's running for a local office that might be able to utilize your services this weekend? Maybe you could help them to canvass the precinct or distribute literature, do a little doorbelling, knocking on doors, manning a telephone bank. There are things that you might be able to do to help somebody succeed in their election. And if you can see to it to help them out, that would be greatly appreciated by the candidates, certainly. And in your community, if they are successful and they are a quality person and a constitutionally minded person, it might pay you back benefits over and over and over again. It may also begin to start a trend in your area for a restoration of constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government. Now today we'll talk again about the American government going back into Hinsdale's once more. We're going to look at this Electoral College in a greater detail. We'll take a look at some other materials that I've got laid out here around me. I've just got stacks and stacks of material. If we were to take the rest of the afternoon, we wouldn't be able to get past the stacks of books that I have here on my table. So we'll just touch a little bit here and a little bit there. I want to start out from a rather interesting book. I refer to it from time to time just for the novelty of it. This is a book that's called John Garrett. It was written by a man named John Garrity. It's 1001 Things That Everyone Should Know About American History. It's another one of those flea market finds. Picked it up for a couple of pennies. Here he talks about, it's called A Corrupt Bargain. A Corrupt Bargain. It was a charge made by supporters of Andrew Jackson before and during the 1828 presidential campaign. In 1824, none of the four candidates won a majority in the Electoral College, but Jackson had the largest total of 99 votes. John Quincy Adams had 84, William H. Crawford had 41, and Henry Clay drew 37 votes. The election was therefore thrown into the House of Representatives, where Clay used his influence to swing the election to Adams. When Adams then appointed Clay as his Secretary of State, the Jacksonians charged that a deal had been made, So even the Electoral College is not free of corruption. And we're talking about back in the 1820s here. So there's been a lot of problems with our election system for many, many, many years, since the beginning almost. So another interesting novelty here, as long as we bring up Henry Clay, is that war hawks, you've all heard about that before, right? The war hawks. When we come back from this break, you're going to find out who the first war hawks were. Stay with us on Become Vocal Local.
The The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
And we're back once again right here on Become Vocal Local. And if you hadn't ever given any thought as to what the origin of the word or the term Warhawks was, I'll clue you in right here. There was a group of congressmen, Henry Clay was most prominent among them, who, for complicated reasons, favored going to war with Great Britain in 1811 through 1812. It was the War of 1812, if you recall. So we can understand then a little clearer how he may have had a substantial influence in the House of Representatives in the election of 1828, and was able then to throw the support away from Andrew Jackson into the camp of John Quincy Adams through the process of the Electoral College. So just kind of an interesting an aside there. The first Warhawks, the War of 1812. You know, I've got another one of these civics books. This one's The Fundamentals of Citizenship, Blau and McClure, Our Developing Civilization. This was published by the Laidlaw Brothers back in... Let's see, very old pages here. Originally published in 1939, and I have the 1948 edition. And we have heard from Robert Hillman and other sources. Robert Hillman's book that we've quoted from here, I met him down at the Freedom 21 conference in Dallas, and had enjoyed talking to him and looking at some of the research that he brought with him. But in his book, Fast Bullets and Culture Changes, he quoted various sources where they started to, the educational system started to become eroded by this idea of political democracy being sewed in amongst the other political facts of history. And so things started to get turned around a little bit, and certainly this Fundamentals of Citizenship, published in this edition in 1948, is a minefield. And for the young people, and this was written probably for high schoolers, from what I can see here, more modern high school age education system, the dumbing down process was already well underway. In fact, in this particular book, Fundamentals of Citizenship, there's no mention whatsoever. I went through it very carefully last evening and found no mention whatsoever of the Electoral College or that whole system. But here there is something I'll just share with you quickly, and this is it's titled The Unwritten Constitution. The Constitution alone gives us an incomplete knowledge of the operation of our government. To understand our governmental system completely, we must study those political customs and practices which are known as the quote-unquote unwritten Constitution. For example, political parties were not provided for in the Constitution, but they are, nevertheless, among the most significant influences in the operation of the United States government. The part played by political parties in the nomination of the president is one instance of the importance which they have assumed. Another body authorized by custom rather than by the Constitution is the president's cabinet. We find no mention of such a body in the Constitution, but it has become an extremely important institution of our government. And then we'll continue just briefly, the development of political parties, another subhead here. There were no political parties as we know them until our Constitution was ratified. Not quite true there. The Federalists and the Anti-Federalists were just coming into being then. People disagreed with one another on important governmental questions, but there was no organization of those who favored some political party. For example, Jefferson was very much against a strong national government, and Hamilton was very much in favor of a strong national government. And both men urged their views, but neither was backed by any definite organization. Washington appointed both men to important offices in his cabinet. Washington did not believe in political parties. He thought of any organization of that kind as a troublesome faction. However, he was not able to get Jefferson and Hamilton to work together. Both men resigned several times, but Washington would not accept the resignation of either. Finally, Jefferson began organizing his supporters. Washington decided that he could not follow the principle of having those holding opposite views on public questions represented in his administration. As he agreed with Hamilton rather than Jefferson, he accepted Jefferson's resignation. Jefferson, freed from his obligations as a member of the government, organized our first active political party. It was called the Democratic Republican Party, and later the Democratic Party. Those in power in the government were called Federalists. However, the Federalists had very little political organization. So it continues from there. Now, you may not realize it or you may not remember it, but there was a period when, after this that we've just mentioned here, a period that was known as the Era of Good Feelings. And if we were to follow through and look at the elections of presidents, the presidential election year of 1789, of course, brought George Washington to office, his vice president being John Adams, and political parties were not yet established. In 1792, when George Washington was reelected, John Adams remained as his vice president, and they came in under the heading of Federalist. In 1796, Adams succeeded to the presidency with Thomas Jefferson as a vice president, and Adams was a Federalist, if you will, and Jefferson was a Democratic Republican. Then in 1800, Jefferson was elected as a Democratic Republican with Aaron Burr as a Democratic Republican vice president. Thomas Jefferson remained in office in 1804 with George Clinton, and both again were representing the Democratic Republican view, not a formal party at this time really, but the Democratic Republican view. Then again, in 1808, James Madison came in as the president, as a Democratic Republican, with the same George Clinton as vice president. In 1812, Madison was reelected as Democratic Republican, and he brought along Elbridge Gerry as the vice president. 1816, we had James Monroe with Daniel D. Tompkins, again, both Democratic Republicans. Monroe was reelected in 1820, Democratic Republicans with the same Daniel Tompkins as vice president. 1824, John Quincy Adams came in, and now we've got back to where I began with this idea of Whigs and other things are starting to emerge. He came in on John Quincy Adams came in on the National Republican ticket, so to speak, with John Calhoun, a Democratic candidate, as vice president. Then we had in 1828, Andrew Jackson came in with John C. Calhoun, and both of them were on the Democratic ticket. Jackson was reelected in 32, Democratic, with Martin Van Buren, Democratic. 1836, Martin Van Buren succeeded to the presidency, Democratic, with Richard M. Johnson, Democratic. And it wasn't until 1840, with William Henry Harrison coming in as the Whig, with John Tyler, his vice president, as Whigs, that we really started to begin down this road of political parties and the establishment of political parties. Now, one of the things that I would like to do, and I haven't done yet, is to go into, I'll probably need to go to the web there and do some research, but I would like to find out when, at what time, in what state, at what time were the first established political parties actually brought in as such, and we started to make room for them and accommodate them in statute law. So instead of just being those people that we would hang out with or a group that we would support as an auxiliary or something voluntary, when did it start to have official recognition? That I still haven't been able to find, and none of my books have been able to give me a clue on that one. Maybe if any of you know, you could call in and enlighten me today. And it'd be great. I would greatly appreciate it. Now, going back to B.A. Hinsdale's The American Government, again, this was published in 1891 first, and the second publication is in 1895, which is the book I have in hardbound open before me. And this is from Chapter 30. Interesting chapter and a good read, not a very long one. It's Chapter 30. It's the failure of the electoral plan. And he lists a variety of references. I won't quote them all, but these are very interesting references that I could be able to, through an antiquarian or perhaps in republications, find some of these books and answer more questions, bring out and share information with you. But again, in 1891, we're just, what, 55, 60 years in advance of the first war hawks. Here's what Mr. Hinsdale has to say about the failure of the electoral plan. Of course, we're talking about the electoral college, the system. It was formerly supposed that the electoral method of choosing the president and vice president was the happy invention of the federal convention. But in later years, attempts have been made to find an original for it. Some writers have seen a resemblance between this plan and the elections of the Pope by the College of Cardinals. Sir Henry Maine thought that the convention was influenced by the Constitution of the Holy Roman Empire, according to which the emperor was chosen by 7 imperial electors. A far more probable conjecture is that the framers of the Constitution found their copy in the provisions of the Constitution of Maryland. I should say that properly, it's Maryland, but many people look at it as being Maryland, which doesn't get you very far from the College of Cardinals nor the Holy Roman Empire, now would it? Which delegated the choice of the 15 state senators to an electoral body chosen every 5 years by the qualified electors of the state. But whether invented or copied, the electoral scheme has failed more signally to accomplish the ends for which it was designed than any other part of the federal Constitution. Professor Johnston, who held the theory of invention, remarks that the system is almost the only feature of the Constitution which was purely artificial and not a natural growth, that it was the one which met least criticism from critics and warmest praise from the quote-unquote Federalists, and that democracy had ridden right over it. We'll be back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, fen, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And we are back. And so we have this idea that this idea or this concept of democracy rode right over the top of this concept also known as the Electoral College. And I'll continue now. The plan excluded Congress from formal participation in choosing the executive, but it did not shut out congressional influence. Still less did it exclude the people, or prevent those heats and ferments that the members of the convention thought it so necessary to shun. Our quadrennial presidential elections are just what the men of 1787 supposed that they had made impossible. Interesting. I find that sentence very potent. Amendment 12 has corrected the particular evils that it was designed to correct, but it has not hindered in the slightest degree that political development which, while observing all the forms of the Constitution, has wholly defeated the object of the electoral system, vis-a-vis the election of the president and vice president by independent electors. In other words, the Constitution of the people is at this point wholly at variance with the Constitution of the government. That's an interesting use of phraseology there. The Constitution of the People, capital P, people. I haven't read the Constitution of the People lately, have you? Perhaps you could point me out where I can go to find that. Maybe it would be filed along with our unwritten Constitution. I don't know. I think that the unwritten Constitution resides in England, but nevertheless, Hinsdale is quite an author and a good researcher, and I think he had reason to include the constitution of the capital P people in this work. We shall therefore take a general view of the process by which the expected operation of the plan has been frustrated. So there's certain problems that were very well aware, everyone was aware of in the 1890s. And remember, this book was written as a textbook on political science to be used in primary, secondary, and in colleges and in universities as a textbook to teach this material. Now, as I stated yesterday and on previous broadcasts, he uses different sizes of typeface in order to provide a clue to the educator, the teacher, the instructor, that certain materials can be skipped over depending on which grade, or which group, which grade, or which level of educational advancement the students may fall within. And so this first part was in the largest of the typefaces. Now we go to finer print, because this is intended for a more intelligent audience like those who are listening today. Party government. This is paragraph 467. The role parties play in the politics of the country was not foreseen in 1787. And you've heard me bring that out 100 times, even here once prior on this morning's broadcast. By the close of Washington's second administration, party lines were closely drawn. But of course, he doesn't say that parties had been established. There were party lines were closely drawn. Once again, we're talking about parties and factions, people arrayed on two sides of issues. And since this time, this would be the close of Washington's second administration, save during the era of good feeling, and I just gave you the listing there from 1816 to 1824, there have been two powerful political parties, nearly matched in strength, one or the other of which has elected the president. Notice the terminology. One or the other of which has elected the president. Once again, it's the parties that do the electing. You are not part of the party. I'm sorry. Membership in the Missouri GOP, for instance, commences at the point of your election to county committee man or county committee woman. The rest are just supporters, followers, adherents, if you will, but not party members. It's like being part of the Politburo or one of the Soviet councils. You needed to be a card-carrying communist, a member of the party, and you're not. Now, let's continue here. He says, powerful political parties, nearly matched. We've said that. Men divide on political questions. The resulting parties are resolved on giving effect to their ideas and policies. And to do this, organization and party machinery become necessary. Now, here in 1891, he's talking about a clear and distinct formulation of an institution known as political parties. He's addressing party machinery, party organization as necessary. This development of party government, it is that has completely changed the operation of the electoral plan. It's this development of party government that has changed the operation of the electoral plan. How this came about, a sketch of the modes of making nominations, we shall show. And then he continues, 468, nomination by consent. And we'll get into that. Looks like we're coming up on the break here shortly. Well, this is short enough. Nomination by consent in 1788 and 17... No, it's not short enough. We will go to the break. When we come back, we will pick it up right there. Stay with us. This is Become Vocal Local.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
question. Is the world getting better or vastly worse? The world economic collapse could come any day. Question, are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question, do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Take a stand for health. Life-Change Tea. We ship worldwide. France, Germany, London, Australia, Finland, and more. Join the thousands that are making the step for a healthy body. Flush out toxins. Lower blood sugar levels. Annihilate acid reflux. Lose weight. You can do it. It's time for change. It's time for health. Grab life. Turn from death. The chemicals in the air will only get worse. Clean your body now with Life Change Tea. Order online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. You've heard it. 928-308-0408. Getthetea.com. It works.
We are back, and I've got the tape turned over, and we're rolling with the fail-safe machine going. Now, this is the closest that I've come to a definitive statement of a time period of the formation of political parties. But it would be very interesting to find out whether or not there was any kind of a charter, a bylaw, standing rules, standing committees, anything like that that we can find in paper to substantiate this. But, and again, I didn't mention it earlier, your calls are certainly welcome. It's 1-800-313-9443. If you want to weigh in on this talk about the Electoral College and the establishment of political parties, feel free to do so. Again, it's 1-800-313-9443, and your calls are welcome. So here we go. In paragraph 468, he goes, nominations by consent. In 1788 and 1792, Washington was nominated by the unanimous voice of the people, without delegates, conventions, or popular assemblies. Adams was nominated for vice president in a similar way, but not with equal unanimity. In 1796, when the Federal and Democratic Republican parties were already formed. I'll repeat that. In 1796, when the Federal and Democratic Republican parties were already formed, Adams and Pinckney, Jefferson and Burr were designated as candidates by the common consent of their respective parties. And in 1800, Adams and Jefferson were again named in much the same way. Interesting. 469, nomination by congressional caucus. The first step in this direction was taken in 1796 when the Democratic-Republican members of Congress agreed to support Jefferson and Burr. The second step was taken in 1800 when Adams and Jefferson were named as presidential candidates in secret caucuses of the federal and Republican senators and representatives. Apparently, the political parties were first formed in Congress with congressional congresses, but I haven't confirmed that yet. But the first regular congressional nominating caucus was held in 1804 when the Republican members nominated Jefferson and Clinton for president and vice president. Perhaps someone has a definitive history of political parties in the United States they could refer to. Perhaps it's out there on the web someplace. Maybe you could find it and let me know where that might be. From this time until 1824, the caucus was as much the regular party machine for making nominations as the National Convention is now. Nomination by state legislatures. This is paragraph 470. Again, we're in the fine print section here. This is the stuff for universities and colleges. Owing to the extinction of the federal party organization, there was but one, or more properly speaking, no political party in the era of good feeling. No political party in the era of good feeling. The four presidential candidates of 1824 had all belonged to the Democratic-Republican Party. Now, does the party come and go with the election of candidates? Was it not a formal standing committee? Was it an informal thing just in the Congress? I don't know. Here's an interesting term. Both words capitalized. King Caucus. King Caucus had fallen into disrepute. A small number of senators and representatives nominated H.W. Crawford of Georgia for president, but the nomination hindered rather than helped him. The candidates of 1824 really stood on their personal merits. Still, legislative caucuses, legislatures, and even county conventions recommended their favorite statesmen to the support of the country. Can we look right into this period, 1824, and find some history or record of county conventions? Nominations were in fact made by the general agreement of certain sections of the people. Who were the certain sections? What people were making these nominations? Are these the same sections of people that are making nominations still today? In 1828, continuing, it was much the same way, only no congressional caucus was held, and the state legislatures took a more important part. So now we should be, in 1828, we should be able to be finding some history on this. Nominations by national convention. The first national convention was held by the anti-Masons in 1831 and nominated William Wirt, W-I-R-T, for president. The second was a national Republican convention that nominated Henry Clay, also in 1831. So now we had a national Republican convention and a anti-Mason convention. The next year, and I've found those. I've got material on that. The next year, the Jackson men, or the Democratic Party of recent times, held a convention to declare their highest confidence in the purity, patriotism, and talents of Andrew Jackson, and much of that has been written, who had already been nominated by local conventions and state legislatures many times over, and to nominate a candidate for vice president. Since that time, national conventions have been regularly held by the several parties, except that the Whigs held none in 1836. Paragraph 472, still in the fine print section. The caucus system. We have a caller. Carol. Carol in Missouri. Come on board, Carol.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Carol. How are you doing this morning?
I am very, very good. I think my phone is being tapped because I get beeps on my phone all the time. But anyhow, I want to say that I was elected Republican chairwoman for our precinct. I am very passionate about what I do, and I put out a letter at least once a month and informing my precinct and anybody else who wishes to know different things that are going on in our county and in our state or in our federal government. The last one I put out is about our license plates with things on it that should not be on it, and about the presidential directives. And I will give another lesson on that next month in my letter. I am doing things that are not wanted to be done, I believe. That's just my opinion. But I am informing my people, plain and simple. There were people, the party down here in McDonald County said that you don't have to do anything. Well, I believe you need to do things. And I spoke with my aunt that is a Democratic chairwoman, and we have she has a person coming up to be voted on for a commission position, and I spoke with her. She said, well, they haven't asked me to do it. She should be calling everyone in her precinct to get him elected. I am just very passionate about what I do. So I just wanted to add those comments. I got signs in my yard that speak volumes if people will read them, and they are starting to read. But I begin to wonder if people don't know how to read.
Well, now if I could ask, Carol, prior to this time period, prior to your time declaring your candidacy, running and winning as a county committee woman for your precinct, had you ever been contacted by the previous precinct chairman or anybody from the party on a local level like that, informing you of issues that were coming up or things that that they might want to bring to your attention?
Not a word. And I know personally the chairwoman of our precinct, she voted for me. And because she doesn't have any help with the previous chairman. My husband is now the chairman of our precinct also. She is very happy to get my letters every time I put one out. She makes copies for people. She wants to be informed because she's not informed.
So we've started a new process then, perhaps, if I can interject, in your precinct, whether the people may start to get the idea that there actually is a representative in government at their level who's willing to dialogue with them openly and even touch on topics that they may not get in the regular newspaper.
That is correct. There's none that appear in our newspaper, local newspaper. And the only way they do get in there is, you know, in the letters to the editor, and that is sometimes, I believe, not put in because of what is being said.
So there might
that's
be
my personal opinion.
So there may be some censorship happening at the letters to the editor level. Well,
oh yes.
You know, I just have to congratulate you because this is really the step that I'm advocating. It's a step that I think that people need to take to re-energize the political system from the ground up. And certainly at the county precinct level, you have the opportunity to do two services. One, to provide that system of representation and answer constituent questions right in your precinct. But then you can also bring that over to the county committee level. Now, has the county committee called meetings so far? And if they have you had the opportunity to interact with the county committee yet?
They have had two meetings already. And one I went to with my husband, and it's just basically there's nothing that happens at them as far as I'm concerned. They don't speak on anything other than getting the rally going and just nothing. They're just a very short meeting, zip, 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 and that's it. You know, it's just, it's a bogus thing. They don't discuss anything. something.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely.
But hopefully this is going to be a start in the right direction. And what I've seen in meetings like this is when someone starts to have the courage to ask questions and to bring issues onto the agenda, that sometimes it'll be enough to help others have the courage to start, and you may be changing the direction of your county committee right where you are. And I really appreciate you're taking the energy to do that and having enough concern for the people that live around you to help them to have a representative in this constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government.
Well, I try my best, and a lot of people have that look, and like they say, the deer in the headlight look. They just, you give them information, and they just can't fathom speaking of. It's just, you know, I don't know. They're hard to get through to. Very difficult.
We just have to keep trying, you know, and we all took a baby step somewhere along the line in our lives, and if you can help a few people start stepping towards the truth and into the light and away from the darkness, it will be a blessing indeed, and everyone in the community will be enriched by it. So I really encourage you to continue, and certainly thank you for calling in today.
Thank you, Will. Thanks for taking the time.
Certainly.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye for now. Well, there you go, folks. It is possible. You can start. You can begin. You can get elected. And one of the things about the county committee level, and I know I'm digressing here from this talk on the Electoral College, which we can continue again on Monday, but one of the things that's happening at that level, county committee man and the county committee woman, as our caller from Missouri said, is that husbands and wives can run for the county committee man and county committee woman slot. And if you're successful in that bid, then you can conserve on fuel, you can make more meetings, you can multiply your efforts so much more, and really in under one household, you can finance and run two campaigns for re-election, help other people to get on the ballot easier. So it's an ideal opportunity for a husband and wife team to go to work right where you are in your local voting precinct and make a difference in the political fabric of your county. And certainly, with 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 of these precincts brought into truth and away from the obfuscatory do-nothing program of action that has been followed for years by the political parties, we can start to break this gridlock. And once you get if you take a stick and poke it through the wall of your pond and get the water to run, it's not long before that whole bank will come out and the water will just spill right out. So it is possible by just making a small chink, you know, finding that little chink in the armor and driving in your wedge, that we can bring a whole corrupt political system down one boss-held county at a time, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. So I commend Carol, our caller, and encourage others to take this step right where you are and to begin making a difference. You know, it's not all about playing the game, Ain't It Awful, wringing your handkerchiefs and waiting for, you know, somebody to step out of the clouds. It's all about picking it up right where you are and moving forward. You either believe that you can or you believe you can't. And if you believe you can, as Carol obviously does and her husband, then you can. You can succeed. If you believe you can't, you're whipped before you've even started. You may as well just stay on the couch. But anyway, let's go back and take a brief look while we're coming to the end of this segment on this concept of nomination then by the national conventions, okay, and the caucus system. In fact, I'll just digress from the text. Where is the power lie in the political system, inside of this caucus system, inside of the electoral system? Where does the real party power lie? It lies at the county level, because it's the county level that brings forward its slate of delegates, alternates, and candidates for the elector, and then they go from the county level to the congressional district level. And they have their congressional district caucuses. And during the Ron Paul campaign, you heard reports from various district caucuses that were happening around. Many of you participated in them as a delegate or an alternate. From there, it goes to the state convention. And the state convention then formalizes their choice for their slate of electors. Of course, there are electors at large also, but the parties put together their slates of electors. It's these electors, then, that are going to cast their ballot in the state capitol, not capitol, as I wrote in my archive yesterday. I frequently misspell that word, C-A-P-I-T-A-L, as opposed to O-L, which is the top figure of a column. Nevertheless, and also misspelled reins of power. I put it reins, but in a way it was kind of neat because reins is power with the G is the king. Anyway, we'll take this break. We'll come back for the last segment of today's broadcast, and your calls are welcome. Stay with us.
States of America survive a total breakdown, disarmed, prostrate before an unfriendly third world, and overwhelmed by politically correct domestic tyranny? Does the spirit of 1776 still live in American hearts? Was 9/11 a wake-up call, a Pearl Harbor for America, or was it Western civilization's Appomattox to Islamo-fascism? These questions and more are answered in Pandemonium in 2012, the new book by Lee Cross.
This is Lee Cross. Americans, Paul Revere's words still ring true. The redcoats are coming. But today they swapped their red coats for ACLU law books and Islamic terrorist bombs. Read how to stop them. Buy my new book.
Fiction or prophecy, you decide. After you buy and read the new book by Lee Cross, Pandemonium in 2012. Published by Virginia City Publishing. Available to order through most bookstores or Amazon.com.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Superbeta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Superbeta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
And we're back. Now, as we're going into the break, I just began talking about this caucus system, and now I'm going to have to go into warp drive because we've got just 3.5 minutes left here or thereabouts. The caucus system at the first national conventions, at first the national conventions were very simple, having some features of the mass convention, but now they became so thoroughly organized as to constitute real party parliaments. The convention is the crown of the national caucus system, the simplest elements of which are seen in the primary meetings or caucuses. That's what we do around here, you know. That's what Carol would be involved with. And executive committees or wards and townships, and the more complex forms in city, county, district, and state conventions and committees. That's why I say precinct. Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You see how they say the same words here? City, county, district, and state conventions and committees. The like of this system is unknown in any other country. It is the creature of purely voluntary effort. It is no part of the Constitution or laws, and yet it exerts an enormous influence upon local, state, and national governments, and upon all political life. Its grand object is to increase party strength by concentrating it upon certain chosen ends, where the means justify the ends. Oh my. Paragraph 473. The effects of the caucus system, listen carefully. The most striking effect of this remarkable development of party organization is wholly to nullify the constitutional intent in electing the president and vice president while all the constitutional forms are scrupulously kept. Substance. What does he say? Reality over rhetoric. That intent is that the electoral colleges shall consist of men wholly uncommitted to particular persons and free to vote for the fittest men. That's what our founders had in mind. That is not what happens today. But since the last, this was really the case in 1789 and 1792, and to a certain extent in 1796, but since the last of these dates, the electors have been themselves appointed in almost every instance with a distinct understanding that they would vote for particular persons. As a result, the electors have no freedom whatever, but are always pledged to vote for party candidates. And so we get dialogued into this consensus once every 4 years. Once every 4 years that we're electing our president. Who would you vote for? Who cares who you vote for? It's done for you by others. The candidates are selected for you. Their electors of the parties choose which one. And that's really where it's at. So, we're taking it back, folks. One precinct, one county, and one state at a time. My name is William Roberts. I do thank you for listening. And until the next time, good day.